Good evening, everyone. Veronica Entwistle here, and you and I are Radiant by Design. That's the show you've tuned into, and I hope you're going to call in with your questions, with your discussion, with your way of talking about what your life is. As you know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor. We do all kinds of interviews with amazing people on Paradigm Shifters, which is a show where I talk to people who write books or present waves of consciousness through their specific style. You know, it might be energy work, it might be studies, it might just be consciousness work, channeling, it doesn't matter. But what I want to say, that something that's fascinated me for many years, and one reason why I'm doing this show and Paradigm Shifters, and also my wonderful work with guides and angels. I say wonderful not because I'm top of the line arrogant, but because every time I work, in my work, I feel happy, I feel rejoicement, that things start making sense on this planet. Because for many of us, they didn't. Many people say, I want to go home, I wanted to go home, I didn't belong here, I felt like I landed in the wrong planet, holy mackerel. So we've learned a lot of things through the years. Oh, and one of the reasons I started saying this and got myself interrupted with my burbling stream of consciousness, that I wanted to do radio because as we do energy, and you know what it's like, as you go into coherent fields, it can lift you. It can make it more possible for you to empower yourself. And other people that come in touch with you, they also are empowered. And the world is kind of in a crucial state right now. Some people call it the end times of Atlantis revisited. It's a really, really interesting time. And I was reading a book by Matthew Fox, because Matthew Fox is my next interviewee on Paradigm Shifters, and he's writing about Meister Eckhart. Eckhart was in the 12th century. He was a philosopher, and he talked a lot about consciousness. And here's what he's talking about. He's talking about when you, it doesn't matter which religion you're into, but what happens is when you deepen into yourself, deepening into oneself is the way to touch the God, the spirit, the infinite, and the divinity and the oneness of us all. And he says that some of the things that I'm reading about just at the beginning of the book even are that a lot of it is about, like, religion is religion and all that's fine, but you kind of have to drop through, I think of it as the cat's cradle, the lattice work of construction of religions of all kinds, and drop in there so that you yourself touch your own personal divinity. That doesn't mean you start your own religion. Get together and meditate, drop into the holiness within ourselves or the God that's within us or the divinity within us, and up come the fields and out it sprays. And I kept thinking, if I just could do radio badadio, I call it, I would be a contributor. It's like you touch your own dharma, your own purpose for being, and you actually can send out into the collective dharma, which Aravinda refers to as dharmi. So I wanted to really make a difference. And after I got going, I noticed, like, everybody's got their own radio show. And I'm like, oh, I thought I could make a mark for myself. Well, no, you have to get off that shtick after a while and realize that the more of us who are doing this, the more of us that are sending frequencies, and I'll get your call in a bit. I'm so glad you called in. The more of us that are sending fields and frequencies out into the collective, the better our chances are of lifting and transforming enough people to do this amazing shift that we've heard about for so many years, and perhaps stave off the inevitable destruction of planet Earth, because all we want to do is hoard what we make instead of nurturing and tending planet Earth and the atmosphere and, hello, one another, and perhaps the frequencies with which we will attract those incoming beings of different dimensions and what we call ETs, which is a whole other discussion. I'll leave up to Jackie Salvitti and many other people who are studying that part. I have a lot of theories about it, but I haven't done those particular studies. So anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm saying you and I are building our radiance. We're building our fields and our frequencies in order to, let's call it this way, I would say, cheekily, I'd say, well, in order to change the world. But another way to put it is what the Arcturians say in the Arcturian Chronicles, change the reality, no, change the energy, change the reality. And if you and I pay attention, like if we're, now one way that I want to put it is my guides were saying recently, and they say this quite often, the energies are such within the earth, above the earth, and within many, many people, and also being downloaded through the universes, rising up in us. So if we grab hold of those fields and frequencies through our meditation, through our breathing, through Kundalini yoga, through oneness blessings, through, oh, I don't know, the right kind of peanut butter, I suppose. But if we consciously intend to bring those fields and frequencies through us, we can make a huge difference. And as they keep saying, we can step free of the edicts of the subconscious programming, the edicts of karma, which is to my interpretation of it, and I know that's open to a lot of different interpretations, but from my perspective, I go, how I understand karma are all kinds of reactions that come up vibrationally. And if we're not careful, we start living out their messages of vengeance and remorse and, you know, all these leftover feelings because whoever we were in other lives didn't finish whatever the dramas were. Guides are saying instead of living those out, the way the fields and frequencies are coming together on the planet now, back to intention. With intention, with consciousness, and with doing all the good works you know how to do, we have full capacity to step out of karmic influences. Step out of it. And it's really funny because I've been practicing that lately. Hey, is that true? And guess what? I feel like it's true because there's a lot of stuck places in my world that I used to feel diligently responsible for moving through, picking apart what I thought was something I owed to this person or that person or the other person, feeling that pull in my belly area, feeling the pull in my solar plexus or any part of my body that somehow has been caught in the underpinnings of other lifetime residue detritus. I can't remember that. I love that word, but I can't remember how to say it. Anyway, before we get into doing our meditation, I have a caller and I'm so delighted because I'll tell you what, this is a really scary time on the planet. But I know this, it's also a very thrilling time on the planet because you and I, just by the same token of stepping out of karma and so on, we have the ability to move up and radiate at a higher level than the level of greed and destruction and payback and hoarding and all of these other things that we've experienced. And part of the deal is taking charge of what you do with whatever comes up. So hello, there's someone waiting on the line and I can hardly wait to talk to you. Good evening.
I hope it's me.
I think it must be you. Is that Aaliyah?
Yeah.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
I'm good. How's my favorite radio show host?
Oh, butter me up, I dare you. Yeah. I'm doing very well. I'm on the move, as you know, but I'm very exhilarated by places I'm going and people. And I don't know, there's a huge change afoot. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's an incredible lightening of the energies about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel things start to move forward. And, you know, just because I'm very sensitive to those things, I don't really, it's not so much my own life. You know, I kind of feel the collective a little bit more of the, you know, like sort of downward pressure that I was feeling. That's kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that all things are possible now. And you know, we have to redefine fear as excitement. I think that's a very important thing to understand, that emotions are just energy, and it's how we define them that determines whether they're going to limit us or empower us. So I think if we redefine fear as excitement and understand that the pressures that were there,
I think you're right, but also trepidation, I want to say, maybe it's fear and maybe it's excitement, but trepidation can also teach us something, can it? It's like, oh, I have trepidation. Okay. It means that things are really going to change, right? And I can feel the shake, but I don't have to be, I don't have to remain scared. I have to...
One of the quotes I love from Captain Ada's work was when he and Don Juan were running from a jaguar or something like that. And Captain Ada had enormous strength and got up to the top of this hill in no time flat because he had reason to move. And Don Juan says to him, he says, don't fight your fear, roll with it. And that means that, you know, I think it's kind of like surfing, you know. If you fight the waves, if you fight, you know, if you're in a car accident, you know, if you roll with the car accident, you're not going to get hurt.
Right.
I knew somebody who, it was my brother's friend, who had been on a motorcycle, and he sees this cloud, you know, across the freeway, and he didn't have time to really think about it, but it was a cloud of bees. They were moving their queen to another hive.
Oh, wow, really?
He hits this full force, you know? And I guess bees can fly really fast or whatever. But he had this accident, right? So he basically overturned his motorcycle going full speed on the freeway. And the cops were just amazed when they came to, you know, deal with the accident. They were amazed, and it's like, well, what's going on? And it's like, well, he was not hurt at all, and it was because he was a karate expert, and what he did when he exited his bicycle on the pavement, he rolled.
Because he knew.
Karate roll. Mm-hmm. He knew. And what happens with most people, they either tense up, they don't roll with it. Excuse me, here's the train. Or they you know, they do like a flat face thing.
So or rigidity. I think the tensing up is the worst thing, don't you?
Yeah. But he basically allowed the force of the fall to be spread out over time. And you know, it's a big lesson to all of us to simply roll with it.
Well, I think also it helps to remember that, for example, you know, I've already said this a million times, I'm sure you have too, that the downloads are coming through the universes, and we feel them, and we feel bopped by them, and we feel, security-wise, we could feel distressed by them, but they are usable. They are tools for our, you know, we can purvey wisdom through them, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, non-resistant. Non-resistant, basically.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways that non-resistance kind of plays, but I'm reading a wonderful book on initiation. I don't know if you've ever read it. A friend of mine told me it was a pretty famous book. But
it's not the one by Elizabeth H., is it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was a Bible for a whole bunch of us in the 70s. I adore
was
that
it?
Book.
Oh, I never read it, and I'm just devouring it. Really,
you know, I've never read a book. I don't like reading books more than once. I read it 5 times. Well, because people who don't know, it's a stunning book, a yoga teacher who got in touch with her past lives and the people that were in those lives. And what roles they were taking now. I mean, it was kind of a prelude to Michael Newton's thing on Life Between Lives and how she reached a memory of initiation period in Egypt many, many years earlier, which she was essentially completing now. I won't say too much about it, but it's a brilliant book. I think we have another caller, so if we do, you can wait for a few minutes and we'll tell Aaliyah's done. But I'm glad you're reading that. You make me think I should go read it again.
Well, I've gotten similar things about geometric shapes and numbers and also ancient Egypt. So not to say that it's been nearly as complex as the information that she's got. But
some of those, she has pieces. When I was going through a really huge awakening, transformation, crazy period, everywhere I looked, I saw triangles that emerged from everything. And it was that kind of thing that was validated and explained in initiation and has occurred in different forms. It's not like this is what happens. It's that these things can happen to lead you. You know, it's beautiful. It's a brilliant book.
Yeah, it's a really cool book.
I think she's left the planet now, but it would have been nice to go into some of her yoga classes, hey?
Yeah, that would have been quite a yoga teaching.
Yeah. Anyway, I have another caller, but are you well? Is there anything you want to ask about your own life?
If you have anything that you could give me a little mini reading.
Yeah, there's something that you just wrote, and it's going, you're trying to take it forward, and you're going to, and this is a prediction, you know that predictions are meant to be played with, change the energy, change the reality, but sometimes predictions would be like a mirror and that you can figure out when to shift your hairdo or something. So you're going forward with this, the latest book. I know you're a prolific writer, but anyway, this one I'm seeing. And then slightly to your right is the way you're going to get it to move through. It's like, where you're, and this might be true for all of us over different things, where you are doing in a direct line is going to have to be mitigated or shifted or softened or something. And it's going to go really well. And it's going to be in the connection of a number of people who are putting together rather an interesting mosaic of some of the same principles. And maybe that's what's happening is community consciousness, you know?
Yeah, a couple questions. That book, is that the Unplugged for the Matrix book? Because I'm actually writing two at the same time. And the other one is called Return to Eden. Do you get any?
Unplugged from the Matrix.
Unplugged?
Yeah.
That one?
Because, you know, when I was talking at the beginning, and I said it very differently from you, but my guides keep saying we're going to be able to release karma. And Unplugged from the Matrix has not the same, but some aspects of that particular art, that beautiful metaphysical teaching art. So good for you.
Should I publish it under my own name or the Theta Wave name?
What's the other name?
Theta Wave, like the brain wave, Theta, T-H-E-T-A-W-A-V-E.
I think publish, what is it? Publish it. And Theta Waves is a company of yours?
No, Theta Parallel Minds is a company of mine, but Theta Waves is the alias I use sometimes.
Well, honey, I just want you to say Aaliyah.
You want me to just put it in my name? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it's like when you say Theta Waves, there's sort of like... there's something, you all know this, all you listeners are knowing that every word we speak is backed by consciousness, intent, and so on. The words are laced with wisdom or with suppression or whatever. And there's something about theta waves that's got an intricacy about it and might befuddle some people. I don't know why, and I'm not even going to try to brainstorm it right now.
No, that's
but
fine.
Just your name is smooth and flowing like a rhythmic sound, and that seems to be easier for people. Because I'll tell you what, this is true for everybody, is that we're moving so fast right now. It's really hard to stop and go into intricacies too far because people literally don't have time. You know,
and
I think
and
it's
I'm becoming
because
more
our,
and more direct. Yeah.
Yeah. And our frequencies have to move fast enough to tip over the systems that are going on right now. We all know that. It's either that or not, right? So as the frequencies rise in people, they have less ability to absolutely investigate and study, They have to be hit with the frequencies and move forward. And there's something about that book, both books, in fact, but that first one about the Matrix, that even though some people will not understand it, there's a vibration in it that helps people unravel some of the tangles in their own, for example, if you put it in the karmic or subconscious patternings, you see? There's just something in it vibrationally. You understand?
Yeah, it's set to break the old patterns, but it basically is, you know, kind of going to be kind of rough for some people because they don't think that they can understand it. But once I put it with the Matrix iconography, it seemed to really kind of flow. So I'm like, okay, it'll be cool.
I think it's wonderful, but you know, this whole thing about the book, it reminds me of something, which is that you're outflowing the updrafts, if you will. And it's less, it's about the Matrix, but it's like saying there's no need to be confined by the Matrix any longer, you know?
Oh, no. That's why I was questioning whether to publish it or not, because I feel like I've left it myself.
Publish it because people will hitch a ride on it. You know this.
Yeah.
Share the light, honey. Twirl the baton. Share the light. Make people laugh. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. It's already got a cover.
It's
ready to go.
We'll talk very soon. Bless your heart. I'm really glad you called in.
Yeah. We'll talk again personally.
Okay.
Don't forget to call me about a session for you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And we will talk soon. Many blessings. That's Aaliyah. Thank you. Now, I think also we have another caller, and if we don't, we're going to start our meditation. Do we have another caller?
I'm a caller, but I'm supposed to be, there's supposed to be a caller in between your caller and me.
Well, let's ask who that is. Is there a caller between that caller and this caller, who's Susan? Okay, you're on, Susan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the reason I'm calling in tonight is because you're talking about getting stuck in karma, and I feel like I'm stuck about something. And first I want to say I went to see Amma, and I got a hug.
Oh, wow.
And I felt that she, I felt that she really was, I really feel the energy and the compassion and everything really going out towards me. But what it did also was it made me feel, it brought me back to a pain I've been carrying on since January where I feel really stuck in something, and that's what I'm calling you about. I used to call back between 2006 and 2008. Mm-hmm. I was calling somebody a lot, and you told me not to call him, that it means a lot to him, and that I should not call him, you know, but my energy is... were saying to call him, so I was calling him during that time. And then I stopped calling him. And then I got a visit from him on January 21st.
Oh, wow. Was that in the physical or the etheric?
No, in the physical.
Well, you never know these days, right?
He came to my... Yeah, you never know. Right. He knocked on my... He rang my bell. And I answered him with... the way that his answering service answers, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up not letting him in, and I wound up getting very upset with myself because I didn't let him in. Apparently, I heard a rumor that something was wrong with his marriage at the time or whatever, and he really needed something or someone at that time. And I got on this ego trip where I wasn't letting him in. Plus, I didn't feel ready to see him at that time. I didn't have any forewarning,
right?
You know, a letter or anything like that. You know, and I wound up, you know, being hard on myself, but being a little confused because I didn't want to see him also because he was married, but mostly because I felt unprepared. I felt unprepared, you know, and on every level.
And you know? Were you still in love
and
with
so,
him?
And yeah, this is a problem, you know, and it's kind of
that old
scoundrel. I hadn't been thinking about him all that much. Yeah, I know, you know, and I was told that we knew each other between lives, or that's where we hung out between lives or something, but something to help me get unstuck, because what I feel like I'm doing now, also I feel like my persona is shattered. Like when I perform, I had this edge with me, you know, which was like kind of maybe a conglomeration of a lot of music that I've heard, a lot of performers that I've seen. And I feel very vulnerable because I don't have any persona anymore. And I don't feel like I'm singing well in a show business way, you know, and I want to just sing a bunch of bhajans, you know. And I'm not quite there yet, you know. I want to get back there where I don't care about the world so much. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should be, you know, pushing my music still, you know. But basically, I'm stuck in this place, and I'm stuck in this not letting so-and-so in the door, you know, and feeling like, you know, I wasn't a good friend I just want to move past it. I want to move past it because I don't think he's coming again, because it was kind of a little bit out of his way to come here. And I don't feel, you know, like greeting him. I still don't feel personally like that my appearance or anything like that is up to greeting him. And I want to move forward.
What were you singing before? You said you want to do bhajan. I can't remember how to say it.
Bhajans.
Okay, so Bajans. What were you singing before?
It's not French. Bhajans.
Okay.
Music that I've written.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, old jazz standards, you know, things that have a spiritual edge to them, but they're secular songs, you know. And I did that yesterday, and today it's like I didn't even go to my music practice. I just felt like more of an inward state, you know.
Well, it's really funny because starting to talk to you, I went, wow, she's got a really different vibration. Inside there's a softness and a greater balance in you. So I want to say this, that you've shifted, maybe not totally yet, but you've shifted your energy quite radically. And perhaps, now this is true for a lot of people in karmic or cellular relationships. When you have the connection, even if it doesn't, in quotes, work out, there can be a real unhooking of some of the knots that are lodged in the belly area. So you said, I'm stuck. That's how we started this conversation. And I want to say that you're undoing the stuck at this point. And it seems to be just below, there's something in your head, in between your ears and upper jaw, but there's also something just in and around your navel, sort of an upward down smile, upside down smile going up over the navel and down lower. And I'm going, that to me, as I go into it to see what it's about, there's a lot of reference points in your arms, courage to reach for and receive. And then I want to keep carrying on with that and say, as you clear that, it's going to be much easier for you to reach for what it is you want with more assurance that you've got some protection and you're being guided on it. Does that make sense?
That I've got what?
That you're guided. That it's not, Susan is reaching because she's flailing. No. Susan's reaching because she's mad. No. You're being guided, you're being lifted, and you'll reach because you're not confident that you're balanced, and there's a beautiful internal energy moving through you. And when that upside down smile that's hitting kind of your pelvic bones, and when I go into it, your legs feel kind of buzzy. I'm going, well, that just tells you about how sometimes afraid you've been to reach for what you want, because there's been so little understanding of some of the emotional and mental things in your world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in comes Prince Charming, and there is unhooking, even though you didn't see him. And things are slowly but surely lifting your fields and frequency, and it sure didn't hurt to have a hug by Amma, right?
No, it didn't. It didn't. I have a couple of things to say that I think the fact that Prince Charming actually showed up, although it was funny, actually, you know, in a way, because he was so unhinged himself that it scared me. You know, he had a ghost with him. He had the ghost of a dead folk singer with him.
Oh,
and
really?
I was afraid to let, one of his heroes. And I was afraid to let the ghost in the door. And then I felt really silly because that's all it was. It was the ghost of a dead folk singer, you know, that's with him a lot. And I hadn't even thought about it. But as far as the energies go, I'm having a lot of pain, like, in my right hip. I thought it was from lying down a lot, you know. But mm-hmm. It's, like, near my groin more than in my hip. And okay. So when you were talking about the different areas that are being affected, that's the area. And when I stand up, and sing, a lot of times when I sing, I can feel like it's like an arthritis there or something.
And it's in your right hip, right in the pelvic bone?
Yeah. I don't have it right now.
Okay. I was just going to say, I wouldn't call it something. When we call it something like arthritis, it seems to give it a firmness that you don't need to have. When I go into it, and everybody at home, you know this, that our emotions get logged in our body. I heard this thing about Rinpoches that clear their beliefs and their old feelings so much that some of them don't get rigor mortis when they die, which is pretty important stuff, no hardening. So when I look at your right hip, I feel a hurt and a sound that might want to be like this. It's kind of like, something like that. You see, it's mm-hmm. like a hurt mm-hmm. with a higher pitch. For me, it's kind of a blue-white color and some red. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I don't want to call it something which has a firm diagnosis. Because even though you've been through so much and your self-esteem isn't exactly whippity-snippity yet, you have a blossoming high frequency that wants to move through you. And as that does that, I believe you're going to have an easier and easier time to just flush that through your right hip, you see? Does that make sense?
Okay, that makes sense too, yeah.
Yeah, and you know this, like sometimes it isn't a piece of cake, right? But
right.
Sometimes it's not really easy peasy, but then usually when it's like that, all of a sudden, it's gone. And we'll think it's a miracle. Well, let's call it that, okay? Because miracles are just inexplicable.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to my miracle then.
Yeah, it's about time.
But I want to dump this. I don't want to be mean, but I want to dump this guy out of my consciousness.
So call him in. I was going to ask you his first name, but don't say that on global radio, Hal.
Right, exactly.
You want to dump him entirely?
Well, I want to respect the past, but something else that I was told when I was in the hospital with someone was that, I don't necessarily need to go into this, but they saw a clipping where so-and-so and his friend, who I was also I'm involved with him etherically, he wanted me as his girlfriend, so it made like a triangle, you know? And he used to come by. He came by my house 8 times when I wasn't home, when I was in the hospital around 2008, you know, because they obviously know where I live.
Did he come and support you while you were in the hospital?
No, he came to try to see me, you know, but he didn't come to the hospital itself, you know, but he knew what hospital I was in, but he came, he lifted a few things that were pertinent. You know, works of media works, let's just say.
Well, you say he lifted them, he took them?
He might have taken them on my intellectual property, you know.
Well, and we have to end this conversation because I want to let other people in. And I'm going, okay, so these are men that have been I know what it is, a karmic triangle, isn't it? It's a karmic triangle.
He's a yogi, too. This guy is a big yogi.
But what's really interesting about you
for a long time,
is...
Paramahansa Yogananda.
Pardon me?
We had the same guru for a long time.
Well, what's interesting to me is I think both boys, I'm going to call them boys today, both boys are not going to resonate with where you're headed. But both of them coming into your world have helped you raise up the frequencies, the resonances with them so that you can undo them. I don't think they're going to go with you into the future, either of them. Because who you are is going to be very different.
I don't want him. He's not coming back. I can tell he's not going to come back.
But bottom line, honey, is that you're going to change so much soon. And it's a part of your consciousness wanting to move through you. Trust me. So write his name down. Here's something funny that somebody taught me years ago. And this is for everybody at home. Take a white piece of paper and a red pen. And then you lay the paper on the table. You write the person's name in it. And then you fold the paper up into many, many little squares till it's tiny. And freeze it in an ice cube tray. And I don't know if it's just the... I don't know if it's just the ritual of doing that, but A, it's hilarious, and B, it seems to have a good impact. But C, I don't see you resonating with either of them in a short period of time. I just don't see you even thinking about it. Right now, you're still thinking about it, but I'm going, hand it to God, fold them up, stick them in an ice cube tray. You know.
Right, I need to do that. Is the tribe put out a restraining order against me, and that would be nothing more than not letting the guy in the door, because somebody said that they saw it in the paper.
Oh, really? Did you?
Yeah. I didn't see it, but this girl that works on a television show, she told me it. They put a restraining order under, and my initials, an unknown woman in Brooklyn.
Honey,
they had a picture of them.
I would
going
put
to,
her
like,
in the
courthouse.
Ice cube tray, too. Why would she tell you that? A, B, if you haven't had any encounter with that at all. C, ignore it. Walk away, because if you change the energy, change the reality. You will change your attachment to that little piece of gossip. Trust me. You're a very, very wonderful person. I want to say this to people at home, too, about Amma. You went to see Amma. One time I wasn't feeling well, and I had to get up at 5:30 to see her, and I went through a pouring rain. I was feeling like heck, got to this big place, which was absolutely packed and steaming with wet clothes and all that, and this little lady came in, and I burst into tears because her frequency in a very crowded room at which I was standing at the back, the whole place just filled with this frequency, and I just bawled and bawled because that's what we want, that frequency. So you're beginning to move up and move up inside, and those two men, and we're not going to pick on them, but they're not going to have much common resonance with you in a very short period of time, and they just won't show up in your life because that's what happens. People kind of disappear, you know? It's a disappearing act, a disappearing ink. What do you think of that?
I think it's great, and because I want to move through it. I want to move past it.
Just be. If you be and allow those fields and frequencies to move up through you, you will be past it. Don't do much. You don't have to do much. Thank you for your call, honey.
You're welcome. Thank you for your attention.
All right. So this is Veronica Entwistle. Call in, you guys. I've really enjoyed these last two callers. And now it's time for us to do a bit of a meditation because we want to send a coherent field out there. Do I have someone else on the air? Is there anybody else online? No? I can hear you breathing. Is it still you, Susan? Okay, so here we go. I want you to take a deep breath, all of you. And I want you to close your eyes, unless you're standing on one foot, riding a unicycle, walking on the edge of a cliff, driving a car. And I want you to call in the presence. Call in the beings of light and truth and consciousness and love. And let's call in those amazing fields and frequencies. Call them in. Invite them in. And notice what you feel in your body. And now we're going to make a few sounds. We're going to make our chakra sounds. But I want you to do something special. As we do those, and we've done this a couple of times before, and none of you have told me what happened to you when it happened. So when you sing into the base chakra and you're making it bright, clear, red, I want you to vibrate in there as much as you can and let other colors besides red show up or let the show yourself which parts of your body vibrate the most whilst you, for example, are singing the red. Okay? There you are. And we're going to go through the seven, and it won't take us that long. But my absolute fascination is what happens when you're in the red chakra, which is creativity. It's also your base animal instincts, your relationship to the earth, right? What happens in your body? Which parts of your body are going to resonate the most strong, okay? The sound is, you know, that sound, a guttural sound, as if you're just really linking up with your relationship to the earth. You're part of Mother Earth's bounty, lucky you. Although we may be sons of God, married the sons of man, and we may be aliens. We don't know. A lot of us are. Well, now there's a bunch of you that have got some really interesting things to feed back. And if you do, if you've got pressure building up anywhere in your body, sound in it one more time. And flush that red through anywhere in your body that's got pressures that comes with it. Second chakra is the belly area. This is particularly for Susan right now, or any of you actually, because that's our subconscious. We're saying we can step out of the edicts of the subconscious of karma. But sometimes we're going to have to really be conscious about moving all that, aren't we? And the sound is, ooh, color is orange. Ooh. One more. Ooh. And the last one. Take the orange and flush any parts of your body that are buzzing and getting intense because of the sound. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so there's some of you really have a lot in the orange in the shoulders. Some of you have it in the lower legs. You tell me where you have it. Third one is your yellow chakra, your solar plexus, your personal power center. And the color is bright, clear yellow, and the sound is, oh, ready? Oh. personal power. You know what? That one really hit my throat hard. What happened with you? So take a minute and make the O into the various parts of your body that are also connected besides your solar plexus with this particular chakra. Good. Now the green one, those are your, remember that your lungs are grief, and they might be ancient old soul grief, right? And the whole chest is green, courage, inspiration, flights of fancy, unconditional love. Where in your body did you feel a density you weren't expecting? And the throat chakra is blue. And the sound is, yeah, as in everything, anyone. And it's deep blue. I see it as a deep blue. Some see it as a strong eggshell blue. But I think you let your body mind tell you what it should be for you at this time. And a third eye, and now that throat one is really, really interesting because the neck is consciousness of self, which most of you know. And as you go through, look at what Susan was talking about. As you go through making decisions and lifting yourself and shifting your intentions over and over again, your neck has to change. Your throat has to change. Open your throat like a bowl, not like a tube. And boy, sing differently. Singing hooks the right and left sides of your brain. So do it as an exercise, even if you don't think that you can sing. Some people say, well, I can't sing. I go, everybody can sing. Come on. You just have to be prepared to sing off key if that's it, and let other people go, if that's what they do. Because singing's great for your brain and your evolution. Move your attention to your third eye. Deep indigo, deep purple. And it's in between the brows, right? Going from there right into the brain. And the sound is, as in indigo, intuition. Which parts of your body are talking to you? So if you just, you notice that when I'm looking at several of you out there, a number of you actually, we have kind of like a membrane around your third eye, and you're scared to think it's going to open. Think it's going to open. Come on. Get going and just let yourself just lavish your third eye and say, come on, honey, let's open. Some of you are already wide open, but I see the beautiful deep purple fuchsia lights going all around, and you can bring that forward. Top of your head is violet, and that brings in, makes me think of a friend named Violet. And anyway, it brings in God, guides, what's God, divinity, any way you want to reinterpret that. It's okay with me. It's okay with you. Top of your head, it's like a great, big, beautiful lotus, infinitely blooming, okay? The thing about our personal journey, our purpose, and all that kind of stuff, there's an infinite number of blooms there. Think of the lotus. Imagine putting a lotus in every cell of your body, in every chakra, in every thought. Remember, your words are laced with the wisdom that you choose, right? You choose and refine and define. Top of your head, get up to the top of your head and imagine there's this amazing lotus. Reach out with it to draw in universal light, the beings of light and truth and consciousness and love, those beings that want to help you enhance your route to source and having information that just flows through. And the sound is I don't want to do with a great big smile. And then call in the great violet flame from Saint Germain and have it drop down and absolutely surround your body mind. So we'll swing it round and round your head and your neck and your shoulders and your chest and your stomach and your belly area and your legs. Let's go. Wrap it right round and round and round, way down into the core of the earth, popping back up and shooting through your feet, running right up through your legs. Remember, we were going to step out of karma, so get that violet flame moving and a grooving to move some of those old beliefs and the substructures of early childhood, move up through fears and flexibility and support by male and female, the genital areas where we shared or didn't share, as the case may be, but the power's there, the belly area through the solar plexus, through the chest, and then up into who do you think you are, your neck, and up into your head, and straight out into the great central sun. Let's go back down to the chest and move it up through your head and through your, right up through your head, pulling up your skin, your eyes, way out through the top of your head, because there's a delightful youthening that comes up with moving energies through your body, mind, consciously, intentionally, and with love in your hearts. So, is there anybody who wants to call? This is Veronica Entwistle saying, golly, I've enjoyed talking to you tonight. I'm so glad that we had two calls. And also, I'm going to do an interview on Monday or on Tuesday with Matthew Fox. And he's talking about Meister Eckhart from 12th century and what the impact is. He's bringing in some, I've got this amazing book that I was sent to me. And he's talking about Master Eckhart. I don't know how you say it, Eckhart, I think. And he says it's his third book on this particular subject. But I noticed, and I haven't read the whole book yet, but he, before my interview, I have to get some hefty reading done, but it's brilliant reading. You will find it absolutely irresistible. But he has interviews or discussions with various spiritual teachers and gurus and leaders and so on. And it's very, I read the little paragraphs on the front flyleaf, you know, that say, oh, I think this book is great because blah, 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 you know, from famous people. And I read four of those and went, ah, I've already learned so much here. And talking about ultimately compassion is actually justice in the most refined sense. Compassion is a little like the ideal aspect of the Constitution. Bring your sick, your weak, your poor, bring people who are criminals or whatever, and feel the compassion for them. That is a really high order of justice. There's a lot of very interesting things about finding, I already mentioned it at the beginning of the show, finding divinity within yourself, and you might drop in through the lattice work or through the cat's cradle of various religions or other systems and so on. You might come at it that way, but ultimately the only place to go is to drop in and find the divinity within yourself and really know that therein lies God or your God or the purpose of your being. Is a very, very interesting stuff. And I can hardly wait to talk to Matthew Fox, who has made huge, huge inroads in society over the last number of years, that he's been a purveyor of consciousness and certainly a teacher of creative, what does he call it? Creation, spiritual, spirituality. I think that's his word, or creative. It's not just creative, it's creation spirituality. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, tune in to Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, or get the podcast, which will be up on my site Wednesday or Thursday, or it'll be up on iTunes or Stitcher. I'm so enjoying doing this show, which is really wonderful for me, because for a while I wanted to just stop it. I was feeling like I wasn't getting anywhere. But even just starting to read this Matthew Fox book, I went, he says, and all these different people that he's talking to, everybody's saying, this is an urgent time on the planet, everybody. This is a call to, I would have said arms, but I think it's a call to consciousness for all of us, because if it doesn't happen really quickly, you know this, Mother Earth is being destroyed, and we know all the greed stuff and the power issues and the war, and the world's smaller than ever before, but we have massive communication styles. We have moving frequencies from the universe, from you, from me, from our intentions and consciousness, and BBS radio and other radio places and television. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, any feedback, please do write to me, veronicaentwistle.com, and hit the Ask Veronica button, or email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and tune in at 8 o'clock on BBS radio Tuesday night, and next Thursday at 7. And I want to say thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Thank you for your intention to radiate on purpose and to share the wealth that you are and that I am and we all are. Many, many blessings and good night.